And I want to dwell with you for an hour or so in the scriptures on the great theme of the heavenly Jerusalem. Now I know that most of you, or may I perhaps say quite a lot of you, will be aware that this is a great and a favorite theme of mine. In that a long time ago, the Lord brought me to a clear understanding that if I was really going to understand what God had for us in the book, then we'd got to know what the Lord was getting at in the scriptures. In other words, what he was seeking to point our eyes to. And that, of course, is revealed to us in the last book of the Bible, where you see that everything is pointing through to the great city that God reveals in the end of the Revelation. John speaks of her this way. Let us read, shall we, in the 21st chapter of the Revelation, where he speaks, saying that he sees a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. It was ever the desire of God to dwell with his people and really be their God, not afar off in some distant place, but right down there with them. And in this great New Jerusalem which we see, we find that God is fulfilling at last his great desire. He's always had it. For this purpose, we read that he creates a new heaven and a new earth, in that in this existing universe, he cannot to the fullest degree possible, and that is the only degree that God knows, he cannot fulfill his heart's desire as he wants to fulfill it amongst men. Now, what a tremendous thing this is for us to realize. And once we realize this, we see the purpose of Jerusalem. For it is in this city, Jerusalem, which comes down from out of heaven from God onto the new earth, it is in this city that he dwells among an earth full of new saved people. You only need to read through the chapter to find it. Now, I don't want to talk about the new earth full of saved people, as it says in this book, the nations of them that are saved. It says so. That walk in the light of New Jerusalem. I don't want to dwell on those, because that is not the specific concentration of the Spirit. As John is in the Spirit, his eyes are being lifted off that to see something far greater. Amen. People who enjoy to the greatest degree a city that enjoys to the fullest possible measure the presence and the glory and the wonder of God. Now, beloved, one of the sad things about all this is precisely this fact, that unlike the people of a lesser dispensation, we have forsaken the things that we ought not to have forsaken. And to some extent, we have become concentrated on things which often enough are quite subjective, and they are not just the things upon which God wants us to concentrate. I think we can do that in a simple way. We can show ourselves this from the scripture by making a comparison or contrast, whichever you will, between things, just say, that David said concerning Jerusalem, and then thinking only that he was talking about a mere earthly city. That is all. You see, a city not created by God in the first place, but adopted by God, and adopted and then adapted. You can find all about this if you're interested to find out, and we ought to be, I think, if we read the 16th chapter of Ezekiel. We won't do it now. You do it sometime. Where you'll find that God, make a note of this, where you'll find that God talks about Jerusalem's antecedents, tells it what its father was, what its mother was, and in the day that he discovered, if you like, when he came upon this Jerusalem of old, it was cast out to the field, to the loathing of everybody. And how he, in the day of his love, and in the glory of his compassion, ministered to Jerusalem, and did all the things that should be done for it. He never originally founded the original Jerusalem. It was, before it was called Jerusalem, Jebus. It was the capital city of the Jebusites, of whom you read as a tribe in Canaan. But God walked in, moved in his people, led his people in, and he took over the city of Jerusalem, and he purged it, and he adapted it to his final use, so far as his earthly people were concerned. Now, not so with New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Here is the superiority of the New Testament over the Old. Not so with New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is a creation of God, utterly. It isn't something taken up and adopted. Amen. It is not adopted into God's uses. It is created for his use. He is the father of it, if you like to use this tremendous word. And so we discover this great thing that God is saying to us. Alas, then, that this being so, so few really live in the place and in the knowledge of the New Jerusalem, and in the right relationship to God that New Jerusalem affords. Shall we look first of all then into the book of the Psalms? You will know that David, the great king, was the one whom God finally used to purge the Jebusites out of Jerusalem. It wasn't until David came that Jebus, I know it had already been called Jerusalem, was really made the city of God, as God intended it to be. Not until the great King David. And David sang and wrote some marvelous words about this city. We won't be able to look at them all. But first of all, Will you turn with me to Psalm 122? And you know, when you read the Old Testament, you must not read it to think, if only I could reach those sublime heights and say the marvelous things and really feel the same things that these old people felt, I would think that I had scaled the highest peaks. I want to tell you that God intends you to be far in excess of these. God intends us to understand that we're in a completely newer, higher thing altogether. Oh, that this, if nothing else should be imprinted upon our hearts, oh, that this should be, beloved, that God intends his people of the New Testament to be far superior to the people of the Old Testament. Hallelujah. That they should all be indwelt and inspired by the Holy Ghost, that just here and there indwelt and inspired people under the Old Testament. Not that we think we can write inspired books, not that degree of inspiration. But nevertheless, every one of us, knowing what God has done, I often say this, I move around and I hear people, not very often now I'm afraid, because I don't seem to be able to sit and listen to other people when I get into meetings. I'm rather sorry about that. But I hear them sort of crying out, if only we could be as great as Elijah, or if only we could be as great as David, or if only we could be as great as Moses, or if only we could be as great as Deborah, or if only we could be this, when all the time God is trying to tell us that by a new and superior birth unto a completely higher life, we should all be in that new relationship to the Lord which supersedes that. Oh, God, open our hearts and eyes, beloved. God, do it now. Once this is firmly fixed upon us, once we realize what the coming of Jesus Christ is all about, amen. Simply because God was completely dissatisfied with that old, he brought in the new. Amen. Just because that could not meet his requirements, God did something far greater. Amen. My heart sings for joy when I realize this, beloved. Oh, the marvels and wonders of God's grace and what he's done in it. Now, if then we take a comparative look, first into Psalm 122. In the 122nd Psalm, we read this, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now then, the house of the Lord, where is it? Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. And to David, Jerusalem and the house of the Lord were synonymous. Now you need to keep that very clear in your mind. But this man was moving under the spirit of inspiration. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, he didn't say, O house or temple of the Lord, but O Jerusalem. To David, Jerusalem meant the temple, the home, the glory, the wonder of God. That's a tremendous thing for us to understand. We're on the precinct of a mighty revelation, beloved, if we'll let God teach us this truth. And as we go down, we read further. Oh, Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. You understand that? Not the tribes of Israel now. the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Now I want to ask you a question. David loved ancient Jerusalem. Do you love New Jerusalem? Now you see what I meant. David loved Jerusalem. He loved it. Now, I don't want at this stage to carry your mind over into an Israeli-Arab world conflict. I want to come out of that level. Let peace be among us whilst we're here this weekend. And let God move us up into heavenly and spiritual things. Praise the name of the Lord. I've got friends that labor amongst the Arabs and friends that labor amongst the Israelis. So there you are. Amen. But here's the tremendous thing. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. And as a boy, I was brought up on this, you know, on the second coming of the Lord and all the prophetic scriptures. And I was taught since I was old enough to remember that I've got to pray for the peace of earthly Jerusalem and so on and so on and so on. And glory be to God, I do want that to come. Hallelujah. But I want that God shall lift our eyes to this great heavenly Jerusalem, beloved. They shall prosper that love thee. Now I ask you again, do you love your Jerusalem? Perhaps you might say, well, I've never really thought of it. Well, shame on us. That's the whole trouble. That's the whole trouble. Here is a man who, if he stood in our midst tonight, a man who never knew the covenant of grace and love in Christ, who was kept under the law, who never knew the power of God as we can know the power of God today. Never knew it. And yet he loved that Jerusalem of the Lord. Turn over once more. I want to go into at least two more psalms, so we should be an hour and a half. I said an hour and a bit, but we should be an hour and a half, I should think. And in Psalm 137, we'll read further. The 137th Psalm. And in verse 5, we read, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. There you are. Now think of that. How many times have you sort of stood up and danced and jigged and sang because of the joy of being saved or being healed, or of having a nice company to gather with, or being blessed with a good wife or a good husband, as that may be, or something like that. And he says, if I don't prefer Jerusalem above my chiefest joy, here's a man, think of it. And after all, by comparison with our marvelous cities, with hot and cold water, and cinemas, if you like them, I hope you don't, and all the marvelous, so-called marvelous things that they have in them, you know, picture galleries and marvelous buildings, and I don't know what, commuter systems, I don't know. And if you, beloved, you think of this man He loved that place. He utterly loved it. It was so tremendous to his heart. He said, you know, this man who was a psalmist, he could actually write the inspired words of God. This Bible, he said, and let my right hand cease and forget to write the Bible. That's right. Or play the marvelous tunes to which I sing the psalms. They all go. If I don't prefer Jerusalem above my chiefest joy isn't that I'm a king. Some of you want to go to conferences perhaps and where you want to be told you're a king and you're going to live as a king and all this tremendous thing. Not as a slave. He says, if I don't prefer you, not the king, but the city of the king. Amen. That's right. Not the psalms that I write and sing, but the city and the God of the city, about whom and for whom they're written, and because of whom and which I sing. This is right. Let my right hand forget its cunning. And that was that right hand. He wasn't one of those who was left-handed and could sling a stone at a hair's breadth. And it was that right hand that threw the stone that slew the enemy of Israel, Goliath. That's right. He said, let my right hand forget its cunning. I don't want to be known as a giant killer. I don't want to be known as a great king, a psalm writer, even a Bible writer. Or a harp player. That's right. Lord, this marvelous city. Yeah. Strange, isn't it? You perhaps wouldn't have thought that. But you are to think it, because it's written in the book. One more psalm. And this one, the 87th. What a wonderful psalm. Listen to this. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. Selah, of course. They were. You should have read all about them in the last two chapters of the Bible. There are marvelous things that are spoken of Jerusalem. Amen. He says he'll make mention of Rahab, that's Egypt, and Babylon to them that know me, he says. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Ethiopia, with all that you talk about, your Babylons and your Egypts and your Philistia and Tyre and Sidon and all Ethiopia. He says, I want to tell you, this man was born in Jerusalem. Amen. This is what he says. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. Think of that, because he wasn't. He was born in Bethlehem. He's almost talking as though he'd had a second birth. That's right. That's right. He's beginning to get his eyes open. He can't foresee the great new birth. He can't foresee it, but oh, he's talking like it. He says, I was born in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. What did he mean? He meant that somehow that spirit of him was, if in kinship and one spirit with what God was revealing in Jerusalem. That's what he meant. Because he wasn't born there. Why? We know that Bethlehem, Ephratah, was the city of David. That's where Jesus was born, in the city of David, in Bethlehem. And yet, beloved, and yet, he was born from above. Now let me ask you this question. The last verse, as well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. All of them. You thought he sprang from Jesse, didn't you? See? Here's a man who can write another psalm and say to the king's daughter in the great 45th psalm, he could say, the Lord take you out of your father's household. I'm using colloquial language. He doesn't quite say it this way. You forget your father's household, he said. Forget all that. The king greatly desires thee for thy beauty. That's right. He's got hold of a spiritual secret. Amen. All my springs are in thee. Somehow God had gotten hold of this man. He spoke words that he didn't understand in all their fullest implication. He didn't know. But God was revealing a secret to him. He loved it. He loved Jerusalem. He could write some say, walk around Jerusalem, tell her bulwarks, look at her walls. So the choicest language, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty hath the Lord shined. Jerusalem, the joy of all the earth. Amen. That's a mere man with his perceptions quickened and his perceptibilities awakened, moved by the Spirit of God, speaking of something which can be blown to pieces by a bomb. Can be. I said can. I didn't say it would be. But that's entirely to do with God and his protective umbrella. But the whole thing, beloved, would bring me down onto my knees in shame before God if it were not that God in his grace and mercy had opened to my heart years ago now, so many I can't think of the tremendous importance to this tremendous importance of New Jerusalem. And I would like you to turn with me into the New Testament now. And into the Galatian letter. It may be that you're aware that this great New Jerusalem is spoken of three times in the Scripture. We already have read one reference to it in the New Testament Scriptures. It's a tremendous thing. I mean, spoken of directly. The references we may be able to look up on other issues. But in the Galatian letter, we read a story by Paul. Verse 22 in the fourth chapter. It is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. You remember that he is referring to the birth of Ishmael and Isaac. And so he goes on. These things are an allegory. They are telling us a story, really. They actually happened. But the Spirit is telling us something. He's unfolding a truth. It's in the eternal run and line of things. And here it is. These are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. Think of that. David sang all he sang about a city in bondage, and he was one of the children that were in bondage with it and in it. Think of it. This is the contrast that we must see and understand in our mind. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Glory, which is the mother of us all. Amen. Yeah. What do you think of that? Jerusalem, which is above, is the mother of us all. What a tremendous thing this is for us to understand. These are the places, this is the place in the Bible where we're told who our mother is. We're told much about our father. Even the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom we must become children through his grace. But here is the place where we're told who is our mother. And he refers to her as Jerusalem, which is above, which is the mother of us all. Glory be to God. This is a tremendous thing for our hearts to understand. Perhaps I may only tonight suggest things to you by his grace. Time would not permit for us to explore all that God has to say. But if God be our Father and Jerusalem be our mother, then it must be that I must be born from above. And this is what God told Nicodemus. Jesus told Nicodemus. Jerusalem, which is above, she's free. Amen. And she's free, beloved, with all her children. Amen. This is what God wants us to understand. This is the foundation of all our liberty. This is the foundation of all our freedom from every single bondage that you and I can ever imagine, whether it be religious, superstitious, legalistic, or nihilistic, or whatever you want, beloved. When we realize that we've been born free, glory be to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Born free, absolutely born of a mother that's free, born by the free, ranging and glorious and sovereign will of my Father who begot me with that mother. Amen. That's right. That's right. Every child that's begotten of a father is begotten from the mother. Amen. Oh, may the Lord open our eyes and understandings unto this, beloved. You see, this is the understanding of that to which David just, shall I say, got a glimpse. He hinted. He says, all my springs are in thee. I was born there. Doesn't matter whereabouts ever on the earth I was born, that's where I was born. He knew that in the great will and foreknowledge of God, when he was born, and even before he was born, he was in God's heart the elect king to sit on the throne in Jerusalem. Amen. He knew that his first birth and the first place he was born was for this purpose. Amen. And that's a tremendous thing for us to understand. And here's a man who only knew legal bondage. He didn't know the glory of the free-ranging grace of God in Christ as we can know it tonight, beloved. Amen. This is the truth that God wants our hearts to get hold of. Born free, he says. Born free. Hallelujah. And what a tremendous thing it is. It's written, he says, verse 27, he's quoting from Isaiah now, you will know that. Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. My, here's something that you can't understand. Praise the name of the Lord. What a glorious thing he's telling us. What a precious thing. Are you one of these children? Many more children. Many more children. Praise God. Beloved, I want to tell you that so far as God is concerned, and far as heavenly Jerusalem is concerned, she's barren of anything that flesh or man can do. She hath no husband, praise God. Glory be to the name of the Lord. But the Father dwells there with his Lamb. We see it in the last chapters of the Bible. Praise the name of the Lord. For she represents the precious Holy Spirit in this thing. So that you get the Father and the Lamb, the Son and the Holy Spirit. And there you've got the glorious revelation. It isn't a matter of a husband-wife relationship. It's the glory of the father, mother, male, female thing that was in God and in the heart of God before Adam was ever formed of the dust of the ground or Eve taken from his side. This great truth that God was going to have children. God was actually going to have his own children too. Not made from dust, not adopted from Abraham's family or anything like that, but literally born from above, born of himself, his own glorious children. Hallelujah. The impossibility of it. The glory of it, the wonder of it. Amen. Jerusalem, she's above. She's the mother of us all. Praise the name of the Lord. You see, Isaac, the promised seed, beloved, was born of the free woman. Hallelujah. He was born of the free woman. Now, I have discovered, God granting me eyes to see this, I have discovered that the basis of everybody's bondage, in most cases, as one has dealt with soul after soul throughout the length and breadth of the land, is that they don't get this thing clear. They don't get it clear. There is a cutting off from the earth. There is a severance of the inheritance from the first birth. There is a great new emergence, a wonderful birth from Mother Jerusalem above that's free, and I'm born free. Hallelujah. That's the first great thing that you do understand. Would that every one of us tonight, by the power of the Spirit, should leap up in from our seats and declare that we're born free. We're born free. Amen. Born free. Amen. Oh, that's a marvelous thing for you to understand. Born free. Free from what? Free from whom? Self, devil, the world, sin, all the lot. Glory to God. Born free. I don't need God to hammer at me for another 20 years afterwards to get these things dealt with. Hallelujah, beloved. I'm born free.
Amen.
Born free. Amen. Born free. That's a marvelous thing to understand this. My mother was free. I'm a great believer in the mother-child relationship. Hallelujah. For I can only be related to my father through my mother. Let that sink right in. People called psychologists have stumbled upon these kinds of things. The Bible's been declaring them ever since it was written. And here are tremendous truths for our hearts to understand. The next direct reference in the scriptures to New Jerusalem is in the Hebrew letter. In the great letter to the Hebrews. You know, I like this Hebrews letter. In fact, I like the whole Bible. But I like this Hebrews letter. It starts on certain like shadows and leads us to substances. Starts in these kinds of things. You can get this as you read the openings of the 10th chapter and the 11th chapter, but don't do that now. In other words, the 10th chapter opens and talks about the law as a shadow and no substance. The 11th chapter opens and says, now faith is the substance, you see. It starts on that and it goes right through. You'll get this same thing in the 11th chapter proceeding to the 12th. In the 11th chapter, you will know it's the chapter of faith and the great champions, demonstrators, men and women of faith. And the greatest man of faith, I expect, we would think, in the whole scripture, Abraham, is mentioned in this, of course, next to Jesus Christ. We'll always have that proviso in mind, greatest mere man. This man, Abraham, we're told that verse 10 of chapter 11, he was looking for a city. And he was looking for a city which had foundations. He was looking for a city which had foundations. Whose builder and maker, or architect and artificer, or whatever word you want to use, doesn't matter. The Authorized is still a good book. His builder and maker is God. Abraham. We're given an insight into this man's heart by the Spirit in the New Testament. You're not told this when you read in Genesis 12 and so on, moving on through those glorious chapters. But he was looking for a city. Praise God. But he wanted a city that had real foundations. A city that was built by God, planned by God, built by God. He wanted the God city. You say, well, you won't find a city like that on earth. That's right. And God wants us to know that all the time he was looking for a city, in verse 9, he was just sojourning in the land of promise in a tent. And he was looking for a city. Hallelujah. What a great thing for us to understand. Now, in the 12th chapter, we're told quite clearly, in verse 22, that you are come to the city. That's right. You are come to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, that means all the firstborn ones, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Praise the name of the Lord. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, says the next verse. And who's this, pray, that's speaking? It's God, who we're told in the beginning of the epistle, God has spoken time past unto the fathers by the prophets, and I don't know why, he's spoken to us and his Son, who was born free from above. Hallelujah. Through Mary. And God's speaking to us. We've come. Jesus is there. The blood's there. He's died to make us free. He's died, beloved, to put away all our sin. He died and he's risen. And he's there. And we're told that we've come to this heavenly Jerusalem. We've come. We're not seeking to come. We're not crying to come. We're not praying to come. If that would be so, it would be our own effort. So I've prayed, I've waited on God. Stop it. You're trying to make God out a liar. Stop your nonsense. You've got to start believing God. It's the best thing to do, and in the end, it's the easiest. You've come to Mount Zion. Now you'll always know when you've come to Mount Zion. You haven't come to a world full of devils, you've come to an innumerable company of angels. What's all this devil talk? This is what the Bible says. It says, we've come to the city where the spirits of all the just men are made perfect. Glory. Amen. Oh, praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. I've come to my native city. I've come where I belong. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're there. We're there. Amen. My name is written in heaven before ever my name was written in Somerset House. My name was written there. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it's a better name than the one I bear. I went to the opticians the other day. And then I went to the dentists. Same day, I think. Oh, it was a bad day for me, wasn't it? I went to the opticians. And in both places, they said, have you been here before? I said, yes. They said, what's your name? I said, North. And then they sort of said, I said, oh, Govey North. They said, oh, yeah, yes, we remember. Horrible name I've got. See, there's nobody else got a name like that. I'm glad you weren't born with a name like that. My daughters have all changed it. I'm very glad for them. But the at least somebody changed it for them. But you see, to be saddled with a name like that on us so that nobody forgets you once you hear you, once they see it or write it, well, that's a terrible thing. But beloved, here it is. My name's written in heaven. And I want to know. I want to know, oh my God, that I'm living up to that name. For the name of Jesus was known and written in heaven before ever he bore it on earth. And oh, he lived it. You see, beloved, I've come to Jesus' native city. Amen. I've come to Father's city. I've come to the city that God has built. I'm there. Hallelujah. God mothered me by the Spirit, if I may use this term, into this glorious life. In that city, I know the city life. I'm not looking for it. I know it. Do you? God, the judge of all. Hallelujah. Oh, Paul said, I don't judge myself. He said this. He left all that to God. He didn't blame. God judged Paul. God is my witness. God is my judge at one period. And you mustn't think that judgment means condemnation. God judges righteously. It's condemnation for sinners, of course it is, in the end, if they won't repent. But he, the Lord, judges. Amen. And it's all so glorious. And he knows, and he leads, and he's the arbiter. And everything's right. I've come there. I'm there. You, beloved, are to know that you're there. The heavenly Jerusalem. Why, if a man could say on earth of a city like that, all my springs are in thee. All my springs are in thee. Is that right? That everything that springs up spontaneously in you is from that city. Is it? Oh God, what a wonder and a glory. What a tremendous thing for our hearts to understand. This is what you find the great one that sits on the throne in the 21st chapter of Revelation. You needn't say it, turn it up now unless you want to. He says, I'll give you to drink of the living fountains of waters, whosoever is athirst. The one that sits in Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, on the throne. Everything. He came down on earth from that blessed one from above, and he said to that woman, he said, if you'd ask me, you only needed to ask me, and I would have given you living water. It would have been springing up in you unto everlasting life. This is the only way you can have it. It's got to spring up in you. You've got to be aware of it. It hasn't got to be sin that's springing up in you. It hasn't got to be selfishness. It hasn't got to be the sordid and the rotten and the foul. It hasn't got to be springing up from beneath. It's got to be springing from above. Hallelujah. This is the whole of life, so far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned. And we find him there, bless him, this great Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. We've come to him. And we invite people to come to Jesus. We never tell them where he is. We say, come to Jesus.
We should tell them he's in New Jerusalem. That's right. That's what we should tell them. Come to Jesus, we say. And for the life of us, sometimes we can't make plain to people what we really mean. We know what we think and mean about it, but oh, how to express it. But to show people that the great living King is there in New Jerusalem, and the blood of sprinkling there is speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking. Better things than the blood of Abel, but oh, beloved, better things than anybody's blood. Anything's blood. That blood is speaking. Oh, how it's speaking, beloved. Speaking for you. Speaking for me. So that I don't need to say anything. I don't have to bring a plea. The blood is speaking. I don't have to ask God to mitigate sentence. I don't have to ask God to be merciful. I don't have to ask God for anything. You say, but it says, and I hear people preaching this, it says in the New Testament about the man who prayed the sinner's plea, God be merciful to me, a sinner. But that was in the temple on the earth. On the earth, still under the old Mosaic system. Take the example of the new. Here comes a man named Saul of Tarsus. He's riding down the road. He's a murderer, a blasphemer. He's injurious. He's everything that a man should not be. A proud, bigoted hypocrite. A religious fanatic. The worst kind of people that you ever can meet. It's worse than drug taking. Yeah. You may not like to hear me say that, but it is. And he's just going along, light dawns on him, this terrible man, see, shocking man. Light floods him, he goes blind, he goes down on the floor, Jesus speaks to him, and he says, Lord, who art thou? Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? Amen. That's right. There you are. He's the apostle of the Gentiles, the great example. Amen. Oh, how wonderful. In one great sweeping act, God dealt with this man down to the marrow of him. The sword penetrated to the dividing of joints and marrow. Amen. Dealt with him. Right down to the seed source of him. Dealt with him. And then he begot God's children. He said, I am your father, when he wrote to some people. You can have 10,000 teachers, not many fathers. I begot you, he says. Hallelujah. He was born free. Hallelujah. Glory. He got up and he was a free man. Absolutely free. He was so free they thought he'd gone mad. And then they sought to kill him. They sought to do everything. But oh, beloved, he came into the royal birth. He knew the great power of God to work in him. Amen. And so on and on and on he went. Within next to no time he was full of the Holy Ghost. The hours had hardly passed, but he was there and was moving in the revelation of Christ and preached him and lived in the liberty, and from that moment onward was never in bondage to any man. He wasn't in bondage to any theory or idea. If ever a man was raised up on high by God to destroy bondages, it was Paul the Apostle. And so he moved in this glorious, glorious thing. want you to see something, beloved. In this great account of New Jerusalem, first we're told she's our mother and that she's free. And secondly, when we behold it, we see that there is the blood in our mother. All right, there's the blood. That's why Jesus had to take it back up there. We've got to be begotten from God's blood seed. This is a tremendous thing for us to understand. And in the third great last reference, of course, to her in the book of the Revelation where we commenced our reading. As you read through this story, as you read it through, beloved, you'll not find any mention of the blood in this account. What you'll find is the water. The blood and the water. You'll find it running like a stream, a great river from under the throne of God. There in New Jerusalem, here then is the revelation. In verse 22, as he is being shown the city, 22 of chapter 21. He says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Praise God. Freedom. The blood. The Lamb. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of that great city, beloved. The inner temple of the city. There they are. No mention of the blood now. Why? Because, beloved, the blood has done its work. The blood has done its work. And now the concentration is not on freedom. The concentration is not on the blood, but it's on the Lamb that shed it. Amen. Always remember this, that the Lamb is greater than the blood. It was because he's so great that his blood was great. That's right. Always remember. And there he is. And the work's all finished. Calvary has run through to its completion. And there she is. This great new Jerusalem, this heavenly holy city. Now she's prepared as a lamb, as a bride. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh, how tremendous this is, that our hearts should grasp this great truth. She's prepared as a bride for the Lamb. Amen. The Lamb's wife she is. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And it's all so glorious. It's all so wonderful. The water's flowing, beloved. The great word is being spoken. The Spirit is saying, come with the bride. They're both saying, come, come, come. If I don't prefer Jerusalem above my chiefest joys, amen. And I understand Why? In that Psalm 137, let's look at it together. David could sing and say the things he said, for he says, look at it. You'd almost think that David had sort of been cheating and looking at John's writing, but John hadn't even been born. He's talking about by the rivers of Babylon, and there's a river of Jerusalem in New Jerusalem. You see how this whole scripture, beloved, it's all conceived in God. It's all of one part. There's a tremendous inward integrity and consistency about it. He says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst of it thereof. For there they carried us away captive. They that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. The rest of the terrible things he says in the psalm have to be taken into account against the background of this great revelation. Those little ones dashed in pieces, those children destroyed. Only the children of Zion, only the children of this mother are going to be there, as David is thinking, now by the power of the Spirit. And beloved, God is wanting us to get this deep into our hearts. David, or whoever it was that wrote the psalm, I don't know. Particularly, you're supposed to sort of study all these things out. Doesn't matter a rap, the Holy Ghost is talking to us, whoever wrote it. Amen. This psalm's written by a man that remembers Jerusalem, being in Jerusalem, and now he's not there. Now he's not there. Now he's in bondage. Now he's in Babylon. Now he's away. Now he's broken hearted. Now the tears are running. Now the harp is hanging on a willow tree. And it's a memory. It's a memory. But beloved, this should never be a memory to us. This should be an ever-growing revelation. An ever-developing truth. This should be something, beloved, that's dawning on us. We can see the light and the glory of it clearer on each other's countenances as the days go by. This is what we should see, because we live in Jerusalem. Amen. We live there. We're alive. We were there, known and conceived in the heart and will of God before ever we were born. We're held there by the glorious Spirit. And life, beloved, is so wonderful. There's blood, beloved, to meet all our needs. There's the water flowing to satisfy all our thirst. There's liberty, newborn liberty, coming upon me every moment, though I live in a world of bondages, where men and women are bound mentally, bound emotionally, bound physically, bound politically, bound financially, bound in the worldliness, bound up in self, bound and bound and bound. There is that beloved which is being cast and flowing down upon me every minute of the day. This is what God wants us to understand and live and move in. And beloved, if you know deep down in your heart, you know you're not there. For it isn't only that your mind is to be set upon it because it's written in the blessed book. You ought to know in the deeps of your experience. You ought to know there, beloved, that it's right. Right. All is in perfect order. All is in uttermost liberty. All within you is like the flowing of the water down the golden street. And all, beloved, is a direct linkage with that glorious throne where the Lord God Almighty has embraced the Lamb back into his bosom. Amen. And there they are, all happy and contented. There they are, radiating the fullness of God through every part of the church. That's what it is. That's the revelation. So I say again, if I prefer not thee above my chiefest joys, why do I prefer Jerusalem, this new Jerusalem? Because she and she alone is God's eternal dwelling place throughout the endless ages. She is that which by his grace can come into a predetermined and predestinated experience now of it all and pass on. The devil can do nothing. Let him do his worst if he's permitted. The world can do nothing. Amen. This alone is the revelation of God. And I want to ask you this question now. Do you want it? As Jesus Christ forsook all to bring you into it, you must forsake all to get into it. Why, a man that was looking for a city of old was prepared to leave and live in a tent. He came from a high civilization and lived in a tent because he was seeking this city with the heirs of the promise. He was never there, always looking for it. And beloved, you can have it all. You've got to forsake your notions. You've got to forsake your partial this and your little that. That God may have everything. Amen. Of you. You can be clear right here. I'm going to stop. I think probably we've been longer than we could have been. Let's pray.